previously on Schooled.
Yeah, I don't care how hard it will be, I'm going to do it. I'd rather work hard than struggle my whole life. I used to know my source of support. Her name was Miss Woodward.
And it's just realizing that when she goes home, like, her day isn't over.
She just does things that there is not cool. Oh, you can't smoke in the house. I smoke wherever I want to. You're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do.
I've been trying so hard. And I feel like there's just, like, people that just, like, want to see me fall.
It's a cold February Friday in North Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And Savannah Zayas, now 20 years old, has the biggest smile on her face. For the first time in more than a year, she's seeing a person who means the world to her, her favorite teacher, Marie Woodward.
I want to come see you guys.
I know.
I'm going to try and come to your graduation.
I was like, I want to see Miss Woodward today. So a lot of people said hi.
Good. Thank you so much. I need to come say hi, too.
Woodward left Savannah's school, Edison High, midway through Savannah's junior year, not feeling like the system was setting her up to succeed as a teacher.
How is everybody?
They're good, they're good. Leah's going to be 5 to 28.
Oh my goodness, B just turned 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Now they're both the same age.
Savannah, not having much stability in her home life, took the change hard. And just getting the chance to catch up with Woodward opened a flood of emotions. We met in Woodward's new classroom, in nearby Olney Charter High School.
What's going through your head?
Just, I wish she was back in my school. You know, she was a teacher, which is like, she would talk to us at first, like, you know, how was your day, you guys, before we start work? And, you know, she was always just there for us and always gave us, like, motivation and always made us feel better at the end. She was a good role model for me. It was emotional. I really miss you.
Thank you for your time.
It had been a bleak few weeks for Savannah, who often feels unsupported in her quest to lift herself and her 5-year-old daughter, Layla, out of poverty. As a teacher, Woodward thrives in her ability to make students like Savannah feel valued and loved.
What kids need are people who will listen to them. They want to be heard. They want to feel like somebody cares. That's the big thing. Too many kids don't have somebody who they're leaning on or who they feel they can depend on.
Just being around Woodward energized Savannah, visibly lightened her.
It is. It's fun. And they're really good.
And as they talked for more than an hour and a half, Savannah's career goals came into focus.
I want to be like how she is. I want to, like, get close to kids and let them know, like, their struggles, but I'm going to be the one there. So, yeah, I definitely made my decision. I'm going to be a teacher.
Do you support this, her becoming a teacher?
Absolutely. You'd make a fantastic teacher. You're so understanding. You're so mature. You're so reflective. You're so compassionate. All of those things, absolutely.
I'm so happy that I'm here.
To reconnect with you. It's so good to see. You're absolutely inspiring me. You're just really incredible. I don't even know what else to tell you. How you balance everything.
I really try.
Yeah. Do you sleep at night?
Oh, I really try. I try to schedule, you know, every day I go to bed at 8:30. Sometimes it falls off to 9, but me and Layla fall asleep reading books.
Okay.
So.
Her books or yours?
Sometimes both.
Savannah and Woodward parted with a hug, each saying, I love you.
Love you, Mr. Layla.
And as Savannah walked back into the cold North Philly night, she felt ready to take on the world.
I feel like so... Like, I just feel really happy. I feel so calm. I feel so pure. I feel like now I got this. I'm going back on my A game.
This is Schooled, a limited-run podcast that gives you the insider story on public schools and the lives that hang in the balance. I'm your host, Kevin McCrory, and for our first 3 episodes, based on more than a year of interviews, Savannah is our guide. This is part 3. Savannah's story is so filled with trauma, heartbreak, and struggle that those elements are impossible to ignore. Sexually abused by her father as a child, pregnant at 14, her mother a high school dropout and convicted felon, Savannah is determined to make a better life, but it's a tremendous task, and sometimes it's hard for Savannah to stay strong. but her life is also filled with incredible joy. First and foremost, this is evident in the relationship she has with her daughter. Her part-time job is another key example. She's a teen leader at the North Philadelphia nonprofit Providence. Her job is to help run an after-school program for local elementary school kids.
Hola.
Mara Burnt is Savannah's boss and mentor at Providence.
She has this incredible pull, and the students, I think they see that. They see that, like, she can have hard days, she can come in overwhelmed, but she is so excited about sharing her gifts and strengths and enthusiasm and joy with people that you can almost see, like, she feeds off of it. It's what makes it easier.
You forgot to do your homework. That was from yesterday.
At the core of Providence's program is getting students to see themselves as empowered leaders in their community. And this often begins by helping students understand their own story and giving them the confidence to use their voice, an area where Savannah has grown by leaps and bounds.
When Savannah talks, people listen, and I just keep trying to convince her to keep using your voice. Like, that's a power that not everyone has.
Many times in our interviews, I would stop and ask Savannah if she was really comfortable sharing with the world all that she was sharing with me. The answer was always a resounding yes.
Before, I wouldn't open up to people. I would think, like, everything I said or everything I've been through, if I would, like, to tell someone, like, they would judge me and, like, see me as that. But, like, now I know, like, the more I open up, the more I, like, actually feel better about myself. Like, I think about, like, the things that have happened to me when I was younger. And, like, I feel like if I never went through any of that, like, I wouldn't be as strong and confident as I am now.
That confidence has been evident to Sydney Coffin, Savannah's 12th grade English teacher at Edison.
Savannah is a particular kid who is really, really buoyant. I mean, she is really resilient in that she's coming into class every day. She's one of the first ones there. She's ready to work. And there are so many kids like that who are eager, enthusiastic. We often only hear about the kids who are challenging or going through really difficult stuff and act out in destructive ways.
For Coffin, this is the lesson he learns over and over again, that the beautiful lives alongside the ugly, grows out of it sometimes, and the two forever wrestle. He tells the story of meeting a new student and his mother on the street outside their home.
And some lady comes up to me with this brown, tar-covered, broken crack pipe, and she's like, please, please, buy me a new one. And I was like, I'm not going to buy you a crack pipe, you know, and I'm with the kid. And the kid's like, mister, there's some fiends around here. You got to get indoors, you know. And I was like, wow, like, think of a teenager dealing with that kind of stuff.
As a teacher who assigns poetry and memoir, Coffin gets the firsthand account of the lives of students in the neighborhood.
I mean, they're taking care of their siblings, they're taking care of their cousins, they're taking care of their friends, they're taking care of their parents half the time. And too often people see teenagers and they're just scared of them, instead of saying, what's this kid's story?
The area where Savannah lives has a nickname, mostly used by outsiders. They call it the Badlands. It's a name that Savannah used to understand.
I always thought in my head, like, there's kids, they just want to get tattoos, they just want to get guns, they just want to sell drugs. That's all I thought I was always the, how do you say it? Like, I was always different. Like, you can always point me out from everyone else.
But now, looking around at her coworkers, seeing the efforts of her classmates, it's a nickname she can't stand.
Because, like, I see my job, and I see teen leaders, which is us, and I see the community of, like, young people who want to change things. And, like, I never knew that that was here, in such a place that they call Badlands.
One of the people who helps keep Savannah optimistic is Lewis Felix, who's also a senior at Edison. Like her, he focuses on school, works a part-time job, and actively avoids the drama of the streets.
Because he got brains.
Because I knew that doing what I see out here in society is not going to get me to where I want to get to.
After years of being friends, they started dating recently. For Savannah, it's a first, a positive romantic relationship built on mutual respect and admiration.
Am I having a frustrating day? I'll just tell him, like, listen, I'm having a frustrating day. I don't want to talk about it right now. Like, 5 minutes pass, I'm talking about it. And he's such a good listener.
I can honestly say she was my motivation. Because before I met her, I was, like, torn. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know, like, I never had anybody to care for me the way she cares for me. And I appreciate that so much from her.
As February rolled into March, the same problem at school that plagued Savannah from the beginning of the year, latenesses and absences, continued. And as the days went by, the threat of not graduating seemed to become more likely. Savannah's issues with attendance stem from her juggling school, work, and motherhood, and her latenesses tally up quickly because she prioritizes getting Layla to her preschool every morning. In general, that tension between trying to be a great mother and a great student can be agonizing.
I'm having to deal with two things that I care about the most. And that's kind of like, it's tough for me because like I do want to be there actively for my daughter. But then it's like, if I continue to do that, I'm going to lose something that I need to graduate, to be successful, to get me a head start in college.
It's a problem that she wishes her mother, Neverlyn, could better help her handle.
Because I try to explain to her, if she would have helped me, my absences wouldn't be so high. If she would help me, my latenesses wouldn't be so many. You know, it's just the ifs. I can't go back. I still had to do what I had to do. That's what I try to explain to my teachers. It's hard to do things when you don't have support.
Neverlyn, who suffers chronic health issues and depression, feels like she does what she can. Financially, she's handcuffed by her criminal record, and the family is almost entirely dependent on government assistance.
That's the only way that we can survive. Other than that, because I can't get no job. I have a federal case that I'm never going to get. I have to wait at least 6-7 years for that to erase in order to get a good job.
There's so many things that I want to be able to give to them, and I can't.
And between kidney problems and a hernia, it's just physically hard for her to walk Layla to school.
I have to walk with somebody, because if not, I stumble. And I'm like, I'm only 36 years old. And all this medical stuff is just popping up.
The very foundation of Savannah's relationship with her mom is also strained. Many times throughout the year, things seemed on the brink of a major meltdown. This was after a blow-up argument in the winter.
And I said, if you leave out this door, your ass is not coming back. Oh, yes, I am coming back because my name is on the lease and blah, 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 blah. I don't give a shit what's on the lease. You leave this door, you're not coming back.
Savannah tries to be upfront with her teachers about the challenges she faces, and some, like Coffin, really appreciate it.
She came to me like a month before the semester began, and she said, listen, I just, you know, with the counselor, and she said, you know, I just wanted to caution you that I do have a kid, and there may be times when I have to miss a day or two because my kid's sick or something. And I just wanted to know if it was okay with you that, like, I get the work from you, and I'll do it. Like, I will do it. I mean, she was really sure about that. And I was like, yeah, totally.
Savannah's commitment to the work has been clear. Her overall grade point average has remained high, and she's consistently ranked near the top of her class. But her attendance has been frustrating for school leaders, who expect her to be in school consistently and on time. The principal, Awilda Ortiz, is a product of the surrounding neighborhood, and in general, plays more of the role of tough and no-nonsense leader than warm and fuzzy shoulder to cry on. She declined to be interviewed on the record and wouldn't allow me to record anything in the school building. Outside the school at dismissal was the closest I could record with permission. Ortiz did give me an unmiked tour of the school. And when we talked with Savannah about her attendance, Ortiz criticized her for thinking she could rely on her mother to help with Layla. And she warned her that if the latenesses and absences continued, her diploma was at stake. It was a message that was hard for Savannah to take.
Like, I wish I was in her brain to see what she sees of me that's wrong, like, or that I'm not good enough or whatever. Like, I just want to know. Like, I really just want to know. Like, I just want to know.
Savannah's dismal attendance had other consequences. It cost her her spot in the National Honor Society, and it pushed her to drop her AP chemistry course, two things that had been major points of pride earlier in the year. With all this in mind, Savannah decided to reconsider an offer from her grandparents, who had recently moved to Florida. In November, they said they'd be willing to take Layla for the rest of the school year so Savannah could focus on her classes. Savannah declined then, not wanting to be so far from her daughter for so long.
I don't think my daughter would want this. Because, you know, she's 4 and she kind of knows a lot now. So imagine, like, you know, that whole change. It's a change for her.
But with graduation pressure mounting, Savannah changed her mind. This was early March.
So she left last week?
Yeah, she left Sunday.
How was that?
I cried all Monday. I cried the whole entire day Monday. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so not used to her not being near me.
And you feel like it was a good decision?
Yes, because I've been getting a lot of work done, and I don't, like, have that, not saying that it was, like, an obstacle, but I don't have that stress out worrying about whether my mom's going to, like, pick her up from school or if I'm going to pick her up and dropping her off.
Layla's time in Florida didn't last long. Savannah's grandfather's health worsened, and it was decided that it'd be better if Layla came back to Philadelphia, where Savannah's attendance problem was about to get a whole lot worse. In late April, Savannah's mom came to her with a last-minute problem. It was a Saturday.
She was like, Nani. I was like, yes. I need money for 2 bills. What bills? And she told me. And I took a deep breath, and I said, how much?
Money has been the other major friction between Savannah and Neverland. Some of the utility bills are in Savannah's name, and so is the lease for the house they rent. Neverland is in charge, but sometimes things go unpaid, and sometimes, like here, there are down-to-the-wire emergencies.
She caught me out of nowhere, like, so it was basically like, Savannah, I need money for these bills, and I need money for rent. And it was just like, what I'm going to do?
Savannah had recently applied to a local grocery store, wanting to pick up night shifts to save more money. When this news hit, she talked to the store over the weekend and was given the chance to start Monday morning.
So I was like, I'm going to have to just go and not go to school. And my mom was like, that's on you. And I was like, well, it is on me, because if I don't do it, who's going to do it?
She skipped school all week to work the day shift at the market, which meant she also had to call her boss, Maura, at the last minute to quit the after-school job she loves. Savannah worked 6 days straight at the market with a cash payout at the end of each day.
So if there wasn't this money crisis in your house,
I would have went to school. I would, like, this is what I be talking about with my mom. Like, she doesn't understand that she just cannot be throwing things at me, like, out of the blue. In other words, like, it's not professional. Like, that's, like, kind of, like, what I had to do for more. Like, you know, I didn't even get to put in my 2-week notice. Like, I just left suddenly. Like, that's not professional. That's not. And then I'm working with kids. Like, that's sad for them. And, like, it was sad for me, too, because, like, I didn't want to work there. Like, I was dead. Like, my body was working, but I felt dead inside. Like, I just felt like, come on, let's hurry up. Let's just get through this. Let's just get through this. We're doing this for the money. Like, it was so horrible. Like, it was just really horrible.
After paying the bills, Savannah quit the job at the market and was able to get her after-school job back. But when she returned to school, there were consequences. Savannah was told that even if she technically earned a diploma in June, her poor attendance record would bar her from attending the graduation ceremony. It's hard to explain how much of a blow this was for Savannah. She's been fighting since age 14 to make it to this exact moment, to wear that cap and gown, to prove wrong all the doubters. And suddenly, it wasn't going to happen.
I don't cry because I want to cry. Like, no, I'm crying because I'm emotionally attached to something that I love. I'm passionate about this. I've been looking forward to this day since ninth grade. I decided to do things because I wanted to be different. I wanted to shine. I wanted to be the one that they like, wow, this is a mother in this school that's been working since 10th grade, that's been getting good grades. Like, I want them to see this person. I don't want them to see the person that I'm taking care of my responsibilities, so now I got disciplined. Like, I don't want them to see, like, okay, this is the rules, and you broke the rules, so this is what you get. Like, I don't want them to see that. I want them to see the person that I am. I want them to see the striving, hard, robust person that I am.
In truth, Savannah had options that would have allowed her to avoid missing school that week. She had enough money in her savings account to cover the bills, but she'd been planning to use that money to buy a used car.
I did what I did. I wanted the car. I'm going to college and I need the car. So I prefer to pay for my car because I need it.
It's the type of decision that many high school seniors don't need to make. And right or wrong, Savannah owns her choice.
I'm responsible for my decisions. Nobody else can do what I do, so I had to do what I had to do. Because nobody else was going to cough up that money and give it to me. Nobody else was going to buy me a car, so I don't know. I'm starting not to care little by little, like, about just about what people think, about the things that I should do. It's just people not going to understand me. People never going to understand. And it's just like no one's going to understand until I be like, come be me for a day. And let's see how you're going to survive.
As graduation day neared, Savannah couldn't help but to become somewhat jaded, feeling like her long journey was coming to a disappointing end.
So it was like overwhelming and like upsetting because the day is coming and it's just like, I'm not going to be able to be there.
But then, just a few weeks before graduation, after months of agonizing over if she would make it, after being told she wouldn't be able to attend, things suddenly changed. With little explanation, school leaders decided that a whole group of students in similar circumstances would graduate and could attend the ceremony. But by the time the news came in, Savannah seemed disillusioned by the whole thing. Having to wait in limbo for something she felt she so clearly deserved made her feel unwanted. So she talked about skipping the ceremony anyway, wanting to save on the $200 graduation fee.
I'm not, like, interested. I don't feel connected. I don't feel involved. Like, it's just not how I wanted it to be or how I expected it to be.
A spokeswoman for the School District of Philadelphia could not explain what school policy changed to allow students to attend graduation. The principal of Edison declined to answer questions. Savannah's spirits, though, did lift, largely thanks to her friends and mentors at Providence. Providence had a party celebrating the seniors in their program who were graduating, Savannah and another girl from nearby Kensington High. In her speech, Mara commended the two of them for overcoming odds and setting an example for the younger kids in the neighborhood.
So you did it while facing all of those things, and our kids got to see that. And that, more than anything that we could say to them, is really like a remarkable way to show them that despite those challenges, being a leader in your community is possible, and caring for people with love and compassion and building community is possible even when it's hard. So thank you.
Savannah's eyes welled with tears as Mara spoke.
It's like, that's my family. Those are the people that I look forward to seeing every day and speaking to every day and like spending my time with. They just make me really happy. I know you noticed.
Great. Ah, movie.
Go ahead, mom. You can take a picture. Put it on my.
Oh my God! It looks so cute. Oh my God, Boobie!
Layla, you smiling?
June 16th, 2017 is a day Savannah will never forget. She did, in the end, attend the graduation ceremony after the principal came to her personally and offered to cover Savannah's graduation fees out of her own pocket.
It made me actually happy that the one person that put me through so many difficult challenges actually cared.
Posing for pictures outside her house before the ceremony, Savannah beamed with pride as Layla and Lewis stood by her side. Both graduates wore the special gold gowns and green honor sashes reserved for the top 25 students in the class.
I'm so happy for my
Like, these are photos.
Did you, what you doing on Snapchat?
No, I'm about to go to Snapchat right now. If we got time.
One picture for Snap. One picture for Snap.
One picture for Snap.
One, two, three.
Layla, how are you feeling?
Good.
Why?
Because today's my mom's graduation.
And what does that mean?
College!
Lewis had so many butterflies in his stomach, he could hardly speak.
I feel great.
You sound nervous?
My voice is all shaky. I am kind of nervous.
Earlier in the day, Neverlyn had been in an awful mood, frustrated about money and storming around the house. But she later calmed down, and seeing Savannah in her gown brought her to the verge of tears.
I'm kind of proud she made it.
Don't cry, because I'm not going to cry.
I didn't think she was going to make it, and she did.
But Neverlyn decided against attending the graduation.
Well, I love you guys. Have fun. It's just people I don't want to see in there. I know my behavior the way I am today. It's not going to go good, so I don't want to mess it up for him.
The ceremony was held at Temple University in a beautiful auditorium with stained glass windows. Inside, the mood was jubilant. 4 years ago, more than 360 students came to Edison as freshmen, each one of them with a story worth telling. Along the way, some rose and some fell. And in the end, only about half of them persisted through the 4 years to cross the stage that night. And so when the principal made the rite of passage official, those who made it went justifiably bonkers.
And by the power vested in me by the School District of Philadelphia and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I have the honor to bestow upon you your high school diploma and proclaim that you are now graduates of Edison High School.
Standing outside along Broad Street with her friends, Savannah looked radiant, beaming with excitement. But she couldn't help but reveal a twinge of sadness in her eyes as well. Other than her daughter, no members of Savannah's immediate family came to the ceremony. Mara, though, was there, and so was Mrs. Woodward.
And then I spotted her. She blew me kisses. And I was like, oh, my God, thank God. And I got really happy, too, when I seen you. I didn't see you at first. And I was like, thank God they came. Because I didn't feel like I didn't have anyone to congratulate me. Just my friends. And then I seen you guys, and especially her. And she was here in the most important moment that I didn't feel like I could be a part of. And I'm just so happy.
5 years ago, there were people who didn't think you could do this.
No one did. Teachers, my own mom, but I'm happy.
In an ideal world, the story would end here, basking in the glow of Savannah's accomplishment. But the world is far from ideal, and the positive buzz of graduation faded all too quickly. Just days later, tension between Savannah and her mom reached an apex when another fight about money, this time over a $5 bill, turned violent. Something that hadn't happened in more than 5 years.
And, like, she just started hitting me. Like, she started punching me in my face right in front of Layla.
Savannah, who wore a black eye her first week as a high school graduate, decided she needed to leave.
I feel like if I just stay there, I'm not going to succeed, because that's what I feel like. She wants me not to succeed.
Lacking other options and with little notice, Savannah and Layla moved to Florida to stay with her grandparents, at least for the summer, likely for longer. Savannah had been planning to attend the Community College of Philadelphia in the fall. At this point, she doesn't know exactly what she'll do, but she's determined to move forward and is already talking about college graduation.
I'm going to do it regardless, and I'm going to take another picture of another cap and gown with my degree.
because that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stop just because she keep doing this to me. I'm not.
And when the task seems too daunting, Savannah has all the proof she needs to know that she can rise above whatever comes her way. And she can rely on a vivid memory of walking across the stage at Edison's graduation before a sea of her peers cheering. And in that moment, she looked over at Layla, and she saw her daughter watching intently, soaking it all in, jumping up and down in the aisle for joy.
I'm happy that she saw what it's really for. Like, what is all those late nights and homework assignments and studying, like, all those times that I couldn't play with her and I couldn't do things. And now I get to just show her, like, this is why, baby. This is why.
Schooled is produced at WHYY in Philadelphia for Keystone Crossroads, a collaborative of Pennsylvania public media stations. This episode was written and reported by me, Kevin McCrory. Naomi Starobin was the editor. Charlie Kyer did the sound mixing. Emily Gann provided organizational support. This podcast was made possible through a grant from the William Penn Foundation. For more on Savannah's story, including great photos by Jessica Corcunis, visit keystonecrossroads.org/schooled. Schooled is working on our next few episodes, centered around another in-depth, year-long school reporting project, this time about an effort to completely overhaul a struggling elementary school.
We talk about no excuses, but you have a child who doesn't know where they're going to sleep at night. They don't know. What do you mean there's no excuses? You gotta be kidding me.